السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فبشر عبادي الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. صدق الله العلي العظيم. One of the important questions that crosses our mind is this question: does religion stand in the way of friendship with others? And I mean by with others, I mean non-Muslims. Does religion stand in the way of this communication and this friendship and this relationship or not? There are two answers for that. One answer by group who believe that we have to stay away from others to keep our identity intact and safe and clean. We need to stay away from all others and shut the door, stay away from their opinions, from their ideas, from their discussions, and do not contaminate your mind, your faith, your ideas with their ideas. Because you are the best, you are the most correct, you are the superior, وأنتم الأعلون, and therefore you don't need others. You don't need others. So don't stay away from others, and you don't need these relationships and these discussions and these approaches and these friendships. This is one opinion which many subscribe to it. Some of them philosophers, some of them scholars, some of them imams, some of them people in this country and outside this country. But in my opinion, that is not the right answer. In my opinion, such person who thinks of himself to be superior to others and judges others without even listening to them, this is called ghurur. This is called insolence and conceit. And this type of ghurur, insolence and conceit normally leads to takfir. Slowly, slowly. It's like a cancer. It grows until one day this person starts judging others as being non-believers, takfir. He would excommunicate them from the rest of the society. This is tatarruf. This is radicalism. The other opinion says that it would not hurt to be proud of your Islam, to be proud of your faith, to be proud of your madhhab, to be proud of your own ideas. But still, you can work with others. You can establish relationship with others. You can have discussion with others. You can dialogue with others, and you can work with others. It would not hurt your religion. It would not hurt you being a good Muslim, responsible Muslim, a fearing God Muslim, to work with others who are non-Muslims, to work with others who do not necessarily share the same opinion and the same ideas with you. The Holy Quran says, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادْ, give glad tidings to my servants. Who are those servants? الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ, who hear the discussion, the word. When it comes to this, the opinions are different. Some say Al-Qawl here is reference to this book, only this book. Others say, no, not necessarily only this book. This book and other books too. Al-Qawl is umum. It has alif lam, Al-Qawl, the article of generality, umum. So they listen to this Qawl, to the Holy Quran, and to other opinions, other discussions. They listen to them. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ, and then they would follow the most virtuous among the qawl, the best among the qawl. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أُولَٰئِك, those are the people that God has guided. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأُولَٰئِك, and those are the people who possess intellect. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allow yourself to listen to others. Why? Because not all everything a Muslim says is correct. Neither everything a non-Muslim says is not correct. There are many things that Muslims say, it's not right, it's wrong. There are many things some Muslim philosophers, historians, transmitters of hadith, exegists of Quran, mufassirin, teachers, they say, which is not right. It's not right. Neither everything non-Muslim and non-Muslim would say and utter is completely wrong. Many things a non-Muslim, a non-believer in God says, and it is right. It is right. We have a hadith. The hadith says you have to follow the hikmah and get it from men and women, even if they don't believe in God. Don't ask about their madhab and their faith and their ideology. If this is a piece of hikmah, it makes sense, get it from them. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Yes, whatever God says is right. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ states is right. Whatever an infallible imam says is right. But how do you know that this is the statement of the Prophet? How do you know that this is the statement of an infallible imam? How do you verify the hadith? How do you verify the authenticity of the hadith? We study in ilm al-hadith ways to examine the hadith, to know whether this hadith has been produced by a prophet or imam or not. This is a fabricated hadith. We have a way of knowing it in ilm al-hadith. Meaning that not every hadith attributed to the Prophet is correct. Not any hadith you find it on any page, in any book, it says, قال الصادق, قال الباقر, this is automatically authentic. No. The transmitters of hadith, they collect in the beginning. In the beginning of their work, they start collecting, left and right. And after this collection, they go through them. And if they collect 100,000 hadith, they would drop 95,000 of them. They drop it away. After examining them, they discover that 95,000 of these hadith are not correct. Only 5,000 are correct. So we have sometimes, we believe in everything what the Prophet says. We believe in everything that the Imam al-Ma'soom says. But how do you verify that this hadith has been said by the Prophet and the Imam? That's a different issue. That's a different issue. Many hadith have been fabricated, attributed to the Prophet, and the Prophet is the last one to know about them. Attributed to Imam Ali, and Imam Ali is the last one to know about this hadith, or Imam al-Sadiq, or Imam al-Baqir, or other Imams. So we must listen to others. We must listen to others. And you know why we had the fabrication? The reason for this vast number of fabricated hadith was politics. Fighting over the government. Fighting over who rules the Muslims, who becomes Khalifa. And therefore every political establishment, they hired some experts in fabrication and concoction, talfiq. And they gave them money. And they were ready to write a hadith immediately. Ready-made for every occasion, for every day, for every hour. He was like the speech writers. Every president today has a speech writer. You think the president, when he gives a speech, this is his own writing? Not necessarily. He has a speech writer. Sometimes the president gives him the idea and he elaborates on the idea. The speech writer elaborates on that idea. Sometimes it is the idea of the speechwriter himself. And the president is the last one to know about this. They write the speech for him. Not this one. This one is very genius, of course. No. So, the same thing. There are many ahadith attributed to the Prophet. There were people, highly illiterate, they know how to fabricate the hadith. But when you examine the hadith and compare it to the Quran, you find this hadith is false and baseless and contradicts the Quran. And Muslim books are filled with these hadith. We need someone to filter them. Where do we filter them? In ilm al-hadith, the science of hadith. The Holy Quran says we must listen. Listen to the others. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ يستمعون القول, and then use your mind, your aql, to recognize what is right and what is wrong. If you use your aql most likely, not in all cases, in most cases, the aql is going to say this hadith is not authentic. This opinion is not good. The aql of someone who always uses his brain and his aql, always, always, that aql is not stagnant, is vibrant. That type of aql is going to recognize what is good and what is bad. What idea is good, what idea is not good. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهِ. In a brief, religion would not stand in the way, Islamic religion would not stand in the way of fostering relations and friendships with others. Islam says, go to the others, reach out to them. If you don't reach out to them, they would not discover you. They would not know you. You remain ambiguous. You remain hidden. You remain anonymous. They don't know anything about you. So you have to reach to others. And if you are anonymous, you are a threat to them. You are a threat. You are not a friend. So you have to reach out to others. Interact with others. Build relationships with your neighbors. With people who are with you. Tell them about your identity. Speak to them. Do not seclude yourself. The life of seclusion is not helpful. Neither for your deen, nor for your dunya. The life of seclusion is not helpful. Allah has given us intelligence and power of bayan to express yourself, and you have a good religion. Therefore, you have to build upon these qualities. and reach out to others. When people know you, many statistics today in America says, when they get to know, before knowing a Muslim family, a Muslim individual, they suspect, they have suspicion and mistrust and sometimes hate. But once they get to know a neighbor, comes into neighborhood, they get to know their children, their women, their men, then this suspicion is going to go away slowly, slowly, through a good relationship. Those who don't like Muslims, most of them, 99% of them, they said, we don't like them because we don't know them. The reason, because they don't know. But once they know good Muslims, they like your religion. They respect you. And this is our task here, my friends, men and women, to introduce yourself to your neighbors, to your friends. Tell them about your religion. Today, Islam is in the news. Maybe 20 years ago, you would be shy to say, I'm a Muslim. Today, if you don't say, if you don't define yourself, someone else is going to define you. So don't let someone else to define you. Say, I'm a Muslim. Tell them about your religion. Give them a book. Give them a good translation of the Quran. The hadith says, Rahimallahu man jabba al-ghibata an nafsih. May God bestow mercy and honor on a person who defends himself. When he is being backbited by others, he says, no, let me clarify. But if you say, no, I leave it for God, I'm mazloom, I shut my mouth, let them say what they want to say about me, I will, you know, face them on the day of judgment, this is wrong. Allah says, no, day of judgment, I would not look into your case because you had the ability to defend yourself and to clarify and you didn't. رحم الله من جب الغيبة عن نفسه. Remove suspicion from yourself. You have a duty to tell people that no, what you hear, it's not right. What you hear about Islam, what you hear about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about religion, it's not right. This is not right. So people would recognize you, and then after they recognize you, you leave. After that, you leave the business for God to change the hearts. After that, God will say, I will take over this case. Once you recognize yourself, introduce yourself, leave the rest for me. I can change the hearts. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصياء نبيك وخلفائه علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. ولقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا. one of the most pressing and important issues that we face in the society, but we don't speak about it. We shy away from it. We hide it. We don't discuss it. Is the issue of mental illness and mental disorder, which is very common. But because of the stigma attached to it, we shy away from it. We don't want to admit to it. We don't want to discuss it. And that is not right, my friends. This is not the right approach. I'm not a professional in this field. I don't want to define it clinically. This is not my job. I'm not professional. But what I am trying to say today in this khutbah, which is part of the prayers, is that we need to educate ourselves first and foremost about this issue, about mental illness. We need to learn. We need to bring awareness. If we do not bring awareness about it, we cannot remove the stigma. The stigma would stay for a long period, long time to come. So we need to, first of all, learn about this and its implication and its influence on our society, our children, our neighbors, our families, our community members. And once we try to remove the stigma, then we are not going to further abuse those victims. Because if you don't acknowledge them, if you think they are rebelling, my son is crazy, he's rebelling against me, he's disrespecting me, and if you don't try to understand him or her, then you are further exacerbating their conditions and their case, abusing them, wronging them. My friends, what is more important than salah and siyam and ibadat in this universe, in the eyes of God, is the dignity of the human being. Dignity is the essence. My friends, this salat that we do is not the end. I have said this here many times. This is not the nihaya. This is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to lead a dignified life. To be true servants of God. These are means. These are means. Prayers and fasting and hajj and dua, these are means to get to an end. These are not the end. The end is what? Allah wants you to be honorable in this life. Not to live like subhuman. Human, full human. You reach your full potential. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَلَقَدْ, indeed, verily, we honor the children of Adam. Therefore, we have to do everything possible to respect human beings around us. Respect is the essence in Islam. Respect is the main message of Islam. Respecting others. Not treating them as less humans, or less respected, or less dignified. And part of those victims are those who are mentally ill. Those are human beings. They should not be treated as being less important than others. They are human beings. And we have to create sense of security for them. Sense of humanity, sense of cohesion. We have to tell them that you belong to the society. Don't seclude yourself. Don't let them go into a period of depression and seclusion and anxiety, and they don't think that they don't belong to you, to the masjid, to the community, to the family, to the house. Don't. This is the worst feeling. A worst feeling someone can ever endure when he does not have sense of belonging to my community, to my family, even my brothers and my sisters. Who are with me at home, they don't look at me as full a human being. That's the worst feeling. That destroys the human beings. Destroys them completely. And this is our responsibility. Mu'mineen. Responsibility of those who have faith in God. To hold their hands. to try to protect them, to care for them, to provide for them. Sometimes you are not an expert, you are not professional, but you know professional. You can take them to a professional. Sometimes you can hold their hands and tell them, I will support you, I will stand with you in this mihna, in this crisis. I will stand with you. One day, and this mental illness is not something new that we just discovered in America or Europe. It existed since God created the universe. This was a disease, a type of disease. Just like physical disease, physical sickness, we have mental sickness. One day the Prophet ﷺ, in his city of Medina, while he was walking in the street, he saw a gathering of the people, huge gathering, and there is laughter. He said, Ma hada, what's going on? They said, Ya Rasulallah, majnoonun yakhruq. Someone insane, he has probably mental disorder or whatever. He's hallucinating, and people are standing there having fun. At that time, there were no, you know, movie theaters, no iPhones to, keep yourself busy. So people, when they find someone funny in the street, they gather around him or her. The Prophet said, no. إِنَّمَا هَذَا مُبْتَلَى هَذَا لَيْسَ بِمَجْنُونَ This person, don't call him insane. This person has been afflicted with this disease. Have mercy on him. What you are doing now is not right. This is not Islam. This is not a humanity. This is not mercy. Don't gather around him. Try to help him. And the Prophet said, in fact, the Majnoon is not this person. The Majnoon, the one who's arrogant, insolent, and conceit. The one who has conceit, self-conceit, conceited, takabbur, that person is considered in Islam Majnoon. Not this person. This is Mubtala. He needs treatment. We have to work together. First of all, we have to pay attention to this. Immediately, when we find someone who's not feeling well, the first reaction of the Muslims, he's Majnoon, leave him alone, this guy is Majnoon. No, he's not Majnoon. One day you may end up in the same position. One day, this person became depressed because sometimes he lost a friend, he lost his job, he has no hope. His parents did not care about him. His friends in the community did not care about him. Her husband did not care about her. His wife did not care about him. This is what happened to him. And it could happen to anyone. Do not just judge people by being Majnoon. Cross him out of your life. This is Mubtala. They need help. They need assistance. And therefore, this is our duty, my friends. Our duty to take care of this, to remove the stigma. For those who feel they have this, they should not be silent about it. They should say it to someone who they trust and who is able to help them to get out of this. If you feel you are one of the victims, no more silence, no more secrecy. Try to help yourself. Try to help yourself to restore your health, to recover from this. Allah can find you a way out. Don't sentence your death to seclusion. Don't sentence yourself to seclusion and death and say there is no way out of this. There is way. Have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the ways, one of them, not all, the prayers, the salah, the dua, the Quran. But this is part of it. Part of it. Sometimes I hear some religious people say, because you don't pray, this is what happened to you. No, I know some people who pray 5 times a day and they have mental disorder. No, it's not about not praying. It's not about not praying or not fasting or not being religious or not being muhajjaba or not being... No, it happens. It happens due to the circumstances. It happens, especially when we live in a place where you don't have family support, community support. You don't have it. People are busy, busy, busy the whole day. How to make ends meet. These are part of the side effects of that society. So we have to stand and help each other. Whenever you diagnose someone with this, whenever you find someone who needs help, it's your moral responsibility. Not just feeding the stomach of the hungry, sheltering the naked is important, but also equally important when someone suffers from mental illness, to give him some guidance, to show him some solution. Next Thursday, we're going to receive students from Chapman University here, inshallah, at our program. And also we have a book signing at Thursday night program by Professor Talal Turfi on his new book. And Saturday, inshallah, tomorrow is going to be the monthly Arabic session. And March 4th is going to be the monthly Farsi session, inshallah. So tomorrow, the 18th, is it 18th tomorrow? Yes, we're going to have Al-Jalsa Al-Arabiya at 7 p.m. inshallah, speaking about family and women and how to raise our children and how to protect our society from our families from divorce and disintegration, and how to learn from Fatima to Zahra alayhi salam to be a strong mother, strong wife, strong woman. This is tomorrow's subject. And inshallah, the Farsi monthly session is going to be March 4th, inshallah, by Dr. Taqi. March 3rd, March 4th, inshallah. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat, wal muslimina wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat, tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. Listen, my friends, today we're going to have a powerful storm, alhamdulillah, coming. So don't worry about it, you will be safe, inshallah, when you drive back home. And with every drop that you get, say alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Be thankful to Allah. We need this rain. We need this rain. We should not complain. Stand underneath the rain, okay, take a shower, free shower, and say alhamdulillah, God has deprived us from this rain for 6 years. And it had very terrible consequences. One day, I don't go to the supermarket, usually my wife does. That day I decided to go. And all of a sudden I discovered fruits are not cheap, very expensive. That day I discovered. So I asked the guy, I said to him, why? He said, yes, not just it's expensive, it is less quality. The quality is also bad because there is no rain, because we suffer from the drought. Not that you have to pay bigger price, higher price, the quality is also not good. So we should not complain. We should be thankful. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. We thank Allah for every drop of rain that we desperately need. And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Because Allah says, when you thank, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. وعجل اللهم في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب الزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.